Christy, why are there more reports of echidnas in winter?
So winter is actually the echidna breeding season. It is between late June and early September, and it can actually last up to 6 weeks. They have a really fascinating courtship ritual, which sees males travelling from really far and wide to find a female.
Okay. So what should people do if they see an echidna that's a bit out of place, I guess?
Yeah, so I guess in terms of this courtship ritual that I mentioned, the males sort of come from everywhere to look for a female, and four or five males can end up with one female and basically follow her around for 6 weeks. This is actually called an echidna train because they literally follow her in a row. It's absolutely awesome to see. The largest one that's ever been recorded is actually 11 males to one female. That can go up to 6 weeks, and then after that, the female basically chooses the one she fancies the most, and all the males then have to travel back to their homes. So when people do see echidnas in weird places, they often think that there's something wrong or they're injured and they need help. And actually, they're perfectly fine. They do this every year, and they know exactly where they're going and exactly where they want to be. Echidnas have incredible sort of inboard GPS systems, and their sense of direction is a lot better than ours. In fact, it's so sophisticated that we aren't actually 100% sure of how it works yet, but we know it's a lot better than scent. So if we do see an echidna and it's wandering around, even if it is in a built-up area, they're perfectly fine, and they're usually just on their way to find themselves a girlfriend.
That's really great. I think I have seen those pictures of echidnas following each other around, but I didn't know that
awesome.
It was I didn't know it was the mating ritual. Oh, okay. So how many reports? Like, what's the kick up in reports that you're getting in winter as opposed to any other time of the year?
Oh, I mean, we can get 10 calls a day sometimes at this time of year of definitely spikes in certain spots where the females are around, a hell of a lot more than we do in summer, and it's just because there is so much activity. And people are trying to do the right thing. It's fantastic that they're calling up and reporting it, but do always remember to call up and get some advice before you try and move the animal, because you might actually be disrupting a really important mating ritual, or even disturbing the mother echidna once it has its babies trying to go back to the burrow and feed its babies. So it's really important that we do leave them alone.
Okay, but what should people do if they see an injured echidna?
Yeah, so injured echidnas, they usually present with a couple of different things. They usually present with broken quills, so their spikes will be broken, or they'll be blowing bubbles, and the bubbles will have blood in it out of their nose. That's really, really common. If you see echidnas with that, they've usually either been attacked by a dog or struck by a car. Really, really unfortunate. And it is important that they do come into care. Echidnas are extremely stubborn animals, and they are escape artists. So please do call WIRES or call your nearest wildlife group for advice if you have seen an injured echidna. First thing to do, obviously, is make sure you're safe if it's by a roadside, and keep dogs and any children away. But I guarantee you'll need some help, because trying to get these guys to move when they don't want to is very, very difficult. One thing that you can always remember is that echidnas actually feel vibrations through their feet. Not many people know this. A lot of people think about snakes, that snakes can feel vibrations. Echidnas are actually the same. So they can feel it through their little pads in their feet. So if you're approaching an echidna, make sure you're really, really quiet and step really, really slowly as to not scare them.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, and also just is there anything else that people should be looking out for in winter to help, or I guess in the echidna's case, not hinder native animals?
Yeah, so winter, a lot of Australian native species actually go into some kind of state similar to hibernation. It is really important that those animals, if they are disturbed or injured during their hibernation, that they actually come into care sometimes until it gets to spring. The reason for this is if they are disturbed and then woken up, there sometimes isn't the food around for them to get energy back, and they can sometimes starve. So if people find things like reptiles or microbats, flying foxes, that they believe they've disturbed either in crevices in their house or under a rock or cave, do give us a call, because even if they don't look injured, they might actually really, really need to come into care. Another thing we experience a lot in winter is a spike in animals, especially large mammals like kangaroos and wombats, being hit by vehicles. So just remember, be really careful when you're driving, dusk and dawn especially. That's when they're out beside the roads feeding. If you do see an animal deceased on the roadside, stop, obviously considering your own safety. But what would be great is if you could drag that animal off the road and check for any pouched young. The reason that we do drag them off the road so that obviously no other vehicles hit them and cause any accidents to people, but so that other animals don't come in and feed on that animal and then are hit as well. That's a really unfortunate thing where a couple of animals end up being hit in the same place. And obviously pouched young, we can usually save them and hand rear them and get them released. So it's really important that we find them as soon as possible. One other thing that is my best advice to ever give people is to always be prepared. If you just keep a cardboard box or a tub, and a towel in the back of your car, it means you're ready for any situation. No matter what animal you find, a towel and a box can always really help you. And it avoids you having, you know, bird flying around in your car if you happen to rescue one, or an echidna trying to dig through the bottom of your seat. So keep those things in the back of your car and you'll be ready.
Okay, fantastic. And the number for wires is 13000 wires, right?
That's it. Yep.
13000 wires. Thank you so much for that, Christy.
Not a problem.